This is Mile High.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. We are coming off the Mile High Weekend and with our first episode since then, and I'm really grateful for everyone that joined us. It was our best Mile High Chiropractic Movement Weekend event yet. People loved it. We accomplished incredible things. Over 400 people in the building. We sold out the hotel. We raised $55,000 for research.
Yes.
And 20,000 plus for Sherman College, from people, chiropractic teams that are committed to the vision. So it really furthered my thought, my vision of the Mile High Weekend, not just being a seminar, but be a force for good within the profession, to help people be centered on the subluxation and adjustment and what is the reason for our practice. And I'm grateful for you tuning into this episode, and I suggest if you are a new listener to please subscribe, or if you've listened to these in the past and you have not subscribed, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or one of the many podcast channels that we're on. And I'm really grateful to have our guest. He was there with us all weekend, Dr. Douglas Lightstone, and he's instrumental with the Health and Wellness Score research project, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, as well as the foundation and some great science things for chiropractic and subluxation. So welcome to the Mile High Podcast, Dr. Doug Lightstone.
Thank you so much for having me, Danny.
We're grateful to have you, and I was grateful to have you this weekend. It was just, it was great to connect and get to know you. Hey, let's just say a little bit about your experience visiting Colorado, because we were talking a little bit about that beforehand.
Oh, for sure. Just an added perk to heading out to the seminar was being able to spend some time in beautiful Colorado. Went out there. There's Rocky Mountain National Park. There's Mount Evans, the highest paved road in the country. I took my team out. We were hanging out with the mountain goats, pretty much like rubbing shoulders with them and enjoying the high altitude and feeling the euphoric effects without any substances. And but honestly, it was just so beautiful. And spent some time in Boulder. I'll tell you, Colorado is a big foodie town.
Yeah.
Probably best food I've had, period. I mean, just really, really amazing time. So as far as any place where you're going to go to a chiropractic seminar, that's a pretty darn good one, because you get to enjoy a lot on top of all the benefits from the seminar itself.
Well, absolutely. And Colorado has been known as a vacation spot. If you never come there for that, but you've kind of had it in the back in your mind, you know,
sure.
Now it's now not just a vacation destination, but a chiropractic destination. So I tell people all the time, do yourself a favor. Don't fly in for the program, like just to get there on time and leave, as it ends. You know, make it a good trip. And I'm really glad that you guys did that, because there's just so much to see. At least always add at least a day so that you can get some sightseeing in without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like going to a, you know, downtown hotel where it's just like, well, this is just like every other city. Like if you were, you know, well, Denver's beautiful too, but like, you know, if you're somewhere in Pittsburgh or Denver or New York, it's like, you know, well, get some time for sightseeing for, you know, the outdoorsy. And that's why I say it's the event with the highest altitude, you know, and attitude. So what were your expectations? Before we get into the science, what were your expectations in attending Mile High? What were your expectations of the event?
I didn't really know much about it at all, to be honest. I know Dr. McCoy, you know, rant and raved about you and said, you know, how great you were and how much you're doing. I mean, I knew that, like, you and Donnie Epstein were going to be there, and you know, before going, I thought to myself, oh, this, you know, this will be like a network conference, and all good. I didn't know much about it, so I went in with an open mind, thinking, hey, I'm going to learn some stuff about network, and I was kind of eager to learn more about it. But you know, going there, I'm glad I went, because it is it is very far from being a network conference, right?
Right.
You know, first and foremost, you know, Dr. McCoy, like I said, he said you were amazing, and he didn't even do you justice because you are a badass warrior, man. I will tell you. And I mean, you just, I guess at some point, you know, for you, you pretty much have to get used to the praise because, you know, the stuff that you're doing and your support is so vital and so incredible and so amazingly generous. I can't speak highly enough about that. So, you know, for anyone out there, you know, you owe it a trip to Mile High just to, sort of, you know, pay respect for that, for everything that you're doing.
Well, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, but then also it was truly a melting pot. You know, yeah. I practiced CBP. I was able to see, you know, CBP docs out there, other sorts of corrective docs out there, all different techniques, all different lifestyles, and just really, I mean, a bunch of people coming from different walks of life to come together and promote chiropractic, learn, you know, speak the language and fire each other up with things that can actually, you know, improve your practice, you know, not simply just the rah-rah.
Yeah. And that's what I've tried to create. So I'm glad that came off because I put a lot of intentionality in that. I want all the different tribes, well, you know, as many as want to come, you know, that different tribes in chiropractic all feel welcome, feel like they're welcome home to the principle. We share certain common values, even if we might have technique differences or different coaching sure. groups or different marketing ways we do our office. We have certain values and we need to strengthen that and not be throwing rocks at each other. You know, that's been my vibe. And also that they get a real content-driven program. And it's good to have some rah-rah and passion and energy, and there's sure. definitely that. But yeah. you also have to like say, wow, I got stuff I got to use on Monday, you know? So that's been, I'm glad that was your experience because that's what I go for. That's the intention of it. So now I want to get into the science because you're doing some great things and you had an exhibitor table at Mile High for this. And I hope many people got interested in it because the Health and Wellness Score Research Project is huge. Very important for our profession. And first of all, let's start off with why is collecting data about people's quality of life important? Why is that important?
That's a really good question. You know, where this really came from was from being a part of the chiropractic community and listening, right?
Right.
So you can be solution oriented or you cannot be, right? Or you can be right. complaint oriented. You know, and I hear a lot of people expressing a lot of concern about, you know, two things in particular. One is that, you know, the profession is divided, right?
Right.
It's we're all, you know, pulling in different directions and you know, there's a, you know, a trust barrier and there's a whole bunch of different things there and that we're not one movement working together, right?
Right.
And then the other thing is that, you know, our profession is a neck and back pain, you know, profession, you know, that's what it's considered, you know, to everybody else, right?
Right.
Neck and back
right.
pain. And so, you know, we looked at that and we said, all right, well, you know, what can we do in order to, you know, me and Dr. Curtis Fedorchuk, we sat down and said, all right, what can we do in order to A, try to get everybody involved in something, and then B, shift the paradigm from neck and back pain to quality of life. So, you know, we're researchers and scientists at heart. So first thing that came to mind was the SF36, the, you know, the health-related quality of life form.
Right.
It's the most used form in healthcare for quality of life measures. And what we figured was if we could create a vehicle where chiropractors everywhere could document the health-related quality of life of their patients and document the improvements of their patients throughout care, if we could somehow access all of that data together and then publish a study across chiropractors everywhere, the ramifications could be huge. The impact would be enormous. You know, and Dr. Curtis, you know, he mentioned in his talk, he says, you know, about 80,000 tons of rock penetrates the Earth's atmosphere every year. but it burns up within the atmosphere. Like, it doesn't even make contact with the ground.
Right.
But if you took that 80,000 tons and you put it together into one meteor, right, I mean, that impact would be felt not only, you know, everyone now, but the Earth would be changed for a very, very long time. And so that's what we're looking to do, is we're looking to make a huge impact for chiropractic for a very, very long time. And, you know, the way that we shift the mindset of policymakers and the public and other doctors, the way that we shift that paradigm from pain to quality of life, is we need to show it. It's not just enough for us to beat our chests and tell everybody, no, trust us. Says, you know, we're the best, says us, because right. We tested it on our own without documenting anything. Right. It's like, no, we need to show how great we are. And right. And so that's what this vehicle is.
Yeah. And that's really important. And people, I've heard people say, oh, we don't need research. Chiropractic works. You know, every time I adjust people, they change. Well, that's all great and good. And I'm sure it happens in your office and it happens in my office and lots of offices. But the world has to know that. And that's why the Foundation for Vertebral Subluxation Research is so important. That's why we put
it totally.
to raise money, because there's only 70 full-time researchers in all of chiropractic, or roughly right. that number, right? And
yeah.
You know, we're it's like a David and Goliath thing. So we have to really, you know, compared to the number of researchers in pharmaceutical companies and so on, and the dollar difference. And if we don't, you know, come to that reality of us shifting that, we're all always going to just be David, right? But at some point, we got to, you know, take the bull by the horns, and research is a key part of that.
Yeah, I will tell you, I see research as the future for chiropractic. You know, I think that chiropractors have had about 5 to 10% of the population for a long time, right? And that hasn't really changed. And
right.
the one thing that we've been looking for, the one thing we've been looking at, is, you know, like, principle of the chiropractor and intent of the chiropractor. But again, no matter how hard we hit that, we kind of stay around that 5 to 10% mark.
Right.
And I think we can start, you know, analysis paralysis, right? We can actually start to, like, confuse ourselves. It's like, am I principled enough? Is my intent in the right? And we can actually start to, like, you know, mind screw ourselves, right? But I'll tell you, you know, I've been to different practice management groups to hear what they have to say, and a lot of them have a pretty similar message, and that's that, you know, in a given population, you've got about 5 to 10% at the upper end who they're not going to buy anything that you're selling, period. Like, it's a no, no matter what, right?
Right.
And then you've got the lower end, the early adopters, who you could literally slap in the face and they'll still buy whatever the heck you're selling,
right?
And then there's that middle part of the bell curve. And that's who you need to convince, right? That's who you need to do a little bit more for, right?
Right.
So here we are as chiropractic profession, we only have 5 to 10%. So what's that really saying is that we're pretty much staying with the early adopters. We're pretty much staying there. And that what we're doing isn't changing that shift. It's not getting us more into the bell.
Right.
And I think that the way we do that is to change health policy.
Absolutely.
And the way that we're going to change health policy is we got to come with some research. We got to show them that this is real. And this is, you know, and the things that have been happening now over the past couple of years are really making a hard shift towards that. The studies that we're getting into are really getting more advanced and are really getting more impressive. And on top of just showing the neck and back pain, I mean, that's been done to death.
Right.
And research. So now we're showing type O disorders, right? Visceral
right.
conditions. And we're showing changes in quality of life.
Right.
And we have this epidemiology study, which is going to show subluxation prevalence, incidence, distribution,
right.
severity.
Right. Right.
It's going to add credibility to subluxation in a way that's never been done before. And health and wellness score is going to be able to show that shift in quality of life.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know, that thing, what you said about chiropractic research influencing public policy is vital. And I say this, and people, you know, what you said, oh, I expect it to be a network program. And like, oh, well, why are you having CBP person speak and all that kind of stuff? Like, my view is that time is over for chiropractic.
Correct.
Like, that time, like, all research, like all the CBP research, uplifts all of chiropractic. All the cervical, like NUCA research, it uplifts all of chiropractic. The network research, I see so many people quoting the network research that don't do network. And that's okay, and that's good.
Yeah.
We need that, you know, versus, you know, saying, well, and the stuff that CBP does has raises the bar for everybody else. And we need to look at that with, like, hey, kudos, and let's all keep raising that up. And it's vital. If we're going to shift public policy and shift validity in the public's eye and the government's eye and get more research dollars also.
Right.
You know?
Having best practice guidelines, having, you know, having all of these things for us. Again, like you said, it elevates the profession. And, you know, I it's so funny, you know, I will oftentimes hear, you know, people who want to, they want to focus on the principle, they want to focus on the intent, and I couldn't agree with that more, but they'll say something like, you know, there's no research on parachutes, right? There's no research on randomized control trials on parachutes. And I'm going to tell you why there's no randomized control trials on parachutes, and that's because you can't go into PubMed and see, it's PubMed, it's health. You're not gonna see RCTs on parachutes in PubMed. One of my closest friends, he works at Boeing, and he builds helicopters. And he was just a part of a project of changing the blades on the helicopters, right? Mm-hmm. So I called him up and I asked him about the parachute thing, and he laughed at me. He's like, "Are you kidding?" He's like, "You don't think they tested that?" I'm like, "I know they tested it, but where's the test?" He's like, "Doug," he's like, "We do thousands of tests on our helicopter blades." He goes, "They do thousands of tests on the parachutes, on the stitching, on the location of where the ropes attach. They put them in wind tunnels." He's like, "They may not throw bodies, they may not throw human beings out of an airplane to test it, but they're doing it with weights and they're doing it with all of these things. Of course that's tested." So yeah, like the concept of, oh, well, there's no randomized controlled trials on parachutes, so we don't need research, we should just stick with this. It's like, well, number one, a lot more people are using parachutes than chiropractic, possibly, so maybe we need to up our game a little bit and get out there, right?
Right.
And number two is, like, they have tested it. Like, of course they are. Nobody would get in a parachute if it hasn't been tested. Like,
right.
That's just silly. But yeah, I would tell you that, you know, at this point, we know how successful this is. We know how much benefit patients are going to receive from it. It was like, what are we afraid of? Why won't we show this?
Right.
I mean, I will tell you that so many doctors in my community, surgeons, medical doctors, and I love them all. We work with so many of them, but like, they don't need to market that much.
Right.
They don't need to, their bedside manner isn't as good as chiropractors.
Right.
And it's because it's public policy that people know, go to your doctor if you need a checkup, right? Everyone goes to the dentist once or twice a year. It's public policy. Mm-hmm. That's it. Even just for checkups.
Right.
I would love for everybody in my community, everyone in your community, everybody in everybody's community to go and get spinal checkups.
Right.
At the very least, make that the first step, is everybody coming in to get spinal checkups.
Right.
That is so huge. And it brings validity to chiropractic. Right. People say, oh, well, if I need to go for a checkup, then that must mean something important about this profession.
Right.
I can't want anything more. And that's, I mean, I spend at least 100 hours a week between my practice full time and full time research to do it. I can't turn it off.
And without that, what happens is success tends to go to the best marketer and the best charismatic person, the best communicator. Sure. And those things are very important right now. If you had more people saying, oh, flip the switch and like, oh, everybody's going to get their spine checked twice a year. Like, and obviously I want it more than that, but like, you know, if you, or you're going to have an annual spinal checkup, and people had understood because of epidemiology evidence, like you have an annual dental and eye checkup. If that was universally understood across the board in the U.S., you would have, I mean, no, we couldn't handle it as a profession, right? So, you know, we wouldn't be equipped to handle it.
Right.
If that switch got flipped. But we have to move towards that by getting research. Health and wellness score. So you went over it a little bit. Can you say a little bit about how a person utilizes that in their practice and why it's important? What could they do with it?
Gotcha. So what's great about this is that it doesn't really require anything different from what a chiropractor is or should be doing, right? So if you're not doing it, you should be doing it anyway. If you are doing it, then this goes right in line with what you're doing. And it's basic documentation. That's it. Basic documentation, right? Chiropractors documenting quality of life outcomes. It uses the SF-36, which is one of the most studied outcome assessments that's available, with over 60,000 studies, in its name. It documents health-related quality of life in 8 different parameters. It's actually 9, I'll explain. So the 8 different parameters are physical functioning, physical limitations, emotional functioning, emotional limitations, pain, general health, social functioning, and this one's my favorite, it's vitality. So it actually measures a vitality parameter. I mean, that's their word. So right. We get to use that now because they are. So, I mean, that's phenomenal. Now, the 9th category is question number 2 on the form, which says, my health is, how would you rate your health compared to a year ago or when you took the form last? And it's either much worse, neutral, or the same, a little bit better, and much better. And what's important about that is, so Danny, I'm sure you see people, you know, for years in your practice, right? They make it to a point where they say, oh, I'm 100% across the board, right? But then every single time they take it, on question number 2, they say, my health is better. My health is better. My health is better. But they're still 100%. So the importance of that is showing that you can go to a chiropractor, you can feel at your best every single time, and then still get better every right. single time that you're taking. That's so, so important.
Right.
So what this does is it allows any practitioner, just all you need is the internet. You can use a tablet, a computer in your office, however you want. It allows them to administer the SF-36 via the computer. Our software scores it for you. It stores it for you. And it compares any pre and post for any patient. So it can actually track a patient's progress throughout care. But what this also does is it stores it for aggregate analysis. So that means that every chiropractor's data is accessible through myself and Dr. Curtis at Health and Wellness Score so that we can publish an aggregate data analysis, a complete analysis of everybody's health-related quality of life improvements in their office for the profession. So just throw numbers out, and I like to work with low numbers. Just because, you know, it's like prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 70,000 chiropractors in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we get 1,000 chiropractors on board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And let's say of those 1,000 chiropractors, each brings in 50 new patients a year.
Right.
Right? So again, working with low numbers. Right? Because why? Because the chiropractors that are going to be involved in this are chiropractors that care.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be getting more than 50 new patients a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just work with that. So that's 1,000 offices and 50 new patients. That's 50,000 patients a year.
Right.
Right?
In
10 years, that's 500,000. In 20 years, that's 1,000,000 patients in a study. And we publish studies every year.
Right.
So we're going to be showing health-related quality of life improvements every year, publishing PubMed. I'm going to jam this down every policymaker's throat until they can't help but know that chiropractic is for quality of life, in the same way that you go get your dental checkup for your
right.
teeth, make sure your dental hygiene is good, make sure your spinal hygiene is good, period.
And on that note, I want to tell you that makes you a badass warrior too. All right. So, and with that, it's healthandwellnessscore.com, and I want to ask you
yeah.
a few more questions about that because I
yeah.
feel this is vital for our profession. So healthandwellnessscore.com.
Sure.
I enrolled
yeah.
like 2 months ago. And
yeah.
I have to admit, I haven't done anything with it yet because
okay.
I was a little busy the last 2 months. So
right.
so now I'm going to do it because now I've got one less job, you know, planning
sure.
an event. So so now I'm going to do it. So let's help people with this, right? Like if you're actually doing this, how much patient time does it take to actually like fill out the survey?
Great question. So it's the same 3 minutes if they did it by paper or if they
right.
do it, you know, on the computer.
Okay.
And again, everybody should be ask your malpractice carrier if you should be documenting in your office.
Right. So
right?
they can do that. The person can take the survey in 5 minutes or something?
So it's usually 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
It's 36 questions. They're able to pretty much fly through it because it's about their health. The first time that they do it, I recommend to do it in the office, but our software actually has an amazing feature that allows them to do it from the comfort of their home. You can actually send out the assessment as an email.
Right.
And the software automatically does it every 30 days if that's what you'd like. So usually a reassessment occurs around every 10 visits or 30 days. So if you're doing that every 30 days, you can simply just hit send assess emails and it sends it out to everybody who's been 30 days or longer since their last assessment. So you don't even have to take up any time in your practice to be able to do this.
Okay,
you just hit
so
a button.
They get it, they fill it out, and that documentation then becomes part of the patient record of their subjective improvement.
Correct.
Or subjective change,
and
improvement or not improvement, either way.
Right. And every chiropractor that's a member, it's their data is theirs. It's like they have access to their data. So, you know, Danny, if you want to do a study of your office, like
right.
You're free to do that, you
right.
know. Your data is yours to do with. So if you have somebody that can write it up, great. If you want me or Curtis to write it up for you, you know, you guys can always reach out to us. But yeah, the truth is that so your data is yours. I know in some other services in the past, the data wasn't the chiropractors, right?
Right.
But this data is yours. We just have access to it for study purposes.
Right. So you can publish a profession-wide study. If a
Correct.
Person wants to do something, publish something for their office, they could. And actually, even if we want people to publish stuff, they could probably even use some of the data in some kind of marketing to some degree.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I have 100 patients and they've had this kind of improvement in their quality of life or whatever
yeah.
it might be.
I mean, absolutely the case. You know, and you know, for Health and Wellness Score, again, we draw a very, very hard line about being nonpartisan.
Right.
Right? That is not the mission of this. But so if you're on Facebook, you know, go on to Health and Wellness Score and like us there. But the important thing is that, you know, if you wanted to do a network study,
right.
you just go onto the Health and Wellness Score page. You go, hey, guys, who's network? Private message me.
Right.
And then do your own study. If
right.
you know, if CBP wants to do a study, they can go on there. Hey, CBP docs, private message me. Let's pool our data. Let's do a study.
Right.
If
and
somebody,
all of that
you know,
will come
yeah.
out of this, which is amazing. All of this,
Correct.
All of that will come out, which is so important, as well as I think it's vital, as you said, to have a study that represents that's not technique-specific, which will be
100%.
Right? So we can say chiropractors all across the board, this is the kind of results that we have.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something this. Switching gears for a moment, what was a memorable experience or takeaway from Mile High for you?
Gotcha. I will actually it was actually pretty powerful when Dr. Steve Tullius was talking.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his kid, right? it hits a you know big emotional spot for me. I have a young son, and you know, to think about what he was going through was a really big deal. You know, and I think it's really important that, you know, we hear that every once in a while.
Yeah.
Because I think what it does is it sharpens our attention to our patients, right? I think that for most patients that come into our offices, we're going to see improvements, right? And for most patients, we probably know, you know, how to give really good care to them, and we can fall into a rhythm with that, and we can fall into a confidence with that. And, you know, you just fall into like, oh, hey, chiropractic works, give it time.
Right.
Chiropractic work gives it time, but, you know, here's a patient that needed something more. Here's a patient that needed, you know, that needed medicine, that needed, you know, that needed help that we couldn't give, you know.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that they weren't going to benefit from getting chiropractic care, but also just the importance of the lives that are in front of us, and that being a doctor is more than just being a chiropractor, right?
Yeah.
Being a doctor is more than just delivering chiropractic care, right? It's really, you know, doing the best thing for your patient.
Yeah.
And so his story, it just, you know, I recommend anybody go onto the Mile High, you know, website and you know, go back, check the videos, right, if they're able to, and go listen to this stuff. It is, you know, there was a few people talking about that over the weekend, you know. It was just very centering and very
yeah.
just humbling, grounding, all of that. So
yeah.
it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, That was huge for me.
And I'll say this. This is a very surprising thing, is that Dr. Steve Tullius, I mean, he's the only speaker I know that travels with his dancers.
Right. Right.
He's got his own dancers, you know.
That,
no one else in chiropractic has dancers.
And so, you know what, I will tell you that too, is that when, you know, you said the rah-rah sometimes can be good. So in that, like you said, in that one moment, I was the most, you know, grounded and humble and, you know, but then when those kids came dancing in there, I couldn't help but get on my feet and lose it. Like,
yeah,
it was,
exactly.
that was soul filling. That filled the soul bucket, you know, good
right.
that day. So,
right.
That was really, really awesome.
It was. Well,
yeah.
I thank you so much for taking your time. I know you're busy in practice and busy with research, but taking time to share on our podcast. This is going to go out on YouTube, as I said, YouTube, Stitcher, Facebook, iTunes,
yeah.
everything. So it will help spread the word about healthandwellnessscore.com. It will help spread the word about vertebrosubluxation.org for the Foundation for Vertebral Subluxation and the importance of research.
Yeah.
Is there any final things that you want to share for people?
Absolutely. Again, you know, unsolicited request right here. Danny, I seriously can't thank you enough. You know, you and your wife, you guys are just, again, warriors. And, you know, I assure everybody who's listening to this, we would not be able to do the research that we're doing without the support of people like Danny, everybody that showed up this weekend. You know, Sean Dill, you know, Liam Schubel, everyone that showed up this weekend and supported chiropractic research, the foundation, you know, Sherman College. I just thank you so, so much for having the vision, man.
Well, you know, it's time in chiropractic where, and I appreciate you saying that, and I you know, there's a place where I got to where I just hit a wall of frustration. I said, not in my backyard anymore. I got to do something about this.
That's right.
And, you know,
solution-oriented versus complaint-oriented, right?
Exactly. And, you know, you get to a point where it's like, all right, are we going to just talk about stuff or are we going to make stuff happen, right?
Exactly.
So you're making stuff happen. Curtis is making stuff happen. Matt McCoy is making stuff happen, all in our own gifting. And this is how I can make stuff happen. So I'm really grateful to,
awesome.
To play my part. And I want people to check out healthandwellnessscore.com. I want people to become members of the foundation in terms of their donation level.
Absolutely.
Vertebrosubluxation.org. And let's keep changing chiropractic for the better and changing the world for the better.
Absolutely.
So, and I'll put all this stuff in the blog post. So if you are driving, don't try to, you know, write while you drive those URLs. We'll put them in the blog post. You'll have the links there. And,
yeah.
You know, we don't want to cause subluxations through the podcast. So
right.
at all. And look forward to seeing everybody. Hey, the next Mile High, it's up. You can register. It's August 16th to 19th, www.milehighchiroregistration.com. So real easy to remember. Again, don't write that down. That will be in there. Or you can memorize it clearly. And thank you for doing your part to help chiropractic. And enjoy this episode. If you've enjoyed it, share it with someone else. Subscribe. We have, you know, great chiropractic messages coming out every week via our podcast on iTunes. And we look forward to seeing everybody next year. Keep changing and saving lives, changing spines, lives, and minds for the better with chiropractic. Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighchiro.